Blog Talk Radio.
I'm your host, Paul Gant, and for the next hour, we will be talking sports and having fun doing it. I want all your ideas, all your opinions, and all your beliefs. And, of course, you will get a heavy dose of my opinion. If you have an opinion, the number to call, 646-727-3070. That's 646-727-3070. And you can listen at blogtalkradio.com/pgant. That's blogtalkradio.com/pgant. And you can send email messages to the show at goforward.gan@gmail.com. That's goforward.gan@gmail.com. Hope everybody's having a beautiful day, beautiful Saturday afternoon. Weather's nice here in the East Coast. A little windy, starting to get a little chilly. And it's about to be fall. And you're about to see a lot more leaves on the ground and a lot of other things. On today's show, we're scheduled to be joined by Jose Sanchez, actor, plays Malik Wright on the hit TV show Game, which will return on 1/11/11, which is January 11th, 2011, on BET. Bunch of whole new episodes. Right now, there are a lot of reruns on BET. And should be good to get this show back. It's a favorite show of mine, one of my favorite shows, and it's a very good show, and it's a show that I look forward to having back, and a show that many have supported and many tried to get back, and ultimately the people were successful. The show will return, and it's exciting times for fans of the hit show, The Game, and it will be back 1/11/11. So make sure you support that show and look forward to it. Also, today we're going to talk a little baseball as well. Last night, the Yankees pulled it out, came back on the Rangers, and got the victory last night, 6-5, to take a 1-0 lead over the Texas Rangers. You're the Rangers. That was your opportunity there to possibly take advantage of C.C. Sabathia not being on top of his game, and he really wasn't on top of his game, and the Rangers got him out of there in 4, and they had a 5-0 lead. They had a 5-0 lead on the New York Yankees. But one thing we all know about the New York Yankees is that you can never count that team out. And like the Phillies, and those are some two tough championship caliber ball clubs who have that never-say-die attitude, and the game is never over when you're playing those two teams. They're never over because at any point, at any time, those teams could come back, and the Yankees did last night. They came back, and they did what they had to do last night, and they got the victory 6-5. And if you look at the Yankees, they have 48 come-from-behind victories in the regular season, and they also have 3 comebacks here in these playoffs. So this is a team that even if you get them down, you're going to have a hard time knocking them out. And it's going to be tough. And this team keeps coming back and coming back and coming back and coming back. And give them a lot of credit. They kept coming back and they got the job done last night against the Texas Rangers. They took a 1-0 lead. And if you're Texas, you're kind of kicking yourself right now because, again, you didn't have your best starter on the hill, and that's Cliff Lee. You had C.J. Wilson on the hill, and you figured going against Sabathia, this would be your opportunity here to possibly steal one here. And then, at that point, beat the Yankees' best pitcher, and then come with your best pitcher, which is Cliff Lee. So, it's a tough situation if you're the Rangers and you're a Rangers fan because you had that team where you wanted them. You had them where you wanted them, and you didn't get the job done. And the Yankees got the job done, and now the Yankees take a 1-0 lead in this best-of-seven series. And game two is today in Texas at the ballpark in Arlington. So, I mean, that's a game two. I mean, the Yankees will be coming with Phil Hughes on the mound tonight. And he's a guy that, if you're the Rangers, you should be able to get some things done. And Colby Lewis will be on the mound for the Texas Rangers. And that game will get started at 4 o'clock this afternoon. I believe it was 4 o'clock. Let me double-check that time. Yes, 4 o'clock this afternoon. And also the Philadelphia Phillies and the San Francisco Giants get started tonight, their best-of-seven series. The NLCS holiday. It's a holiday here. And Roy Halladay goes against Tim Lincecum. Lincecum, his start in the playoffs, his first start in the playoffs, 14 Ks, two-hit victory over the Atlanta Braves. And, of course, Roy Halladay, with a no-hit job against the why is this team escaping my mind? No-hit job by Roy Halladay. And so, you know, give him a lot of credit and give the Phillies a lot of credit. But Roy Halladay was a beast, a monster that night against the Cincinnati Reds. And he got the no-hitter, and he ultimately made history. And he made history that day. Give Roy Halladay a lot of credit, man. And right now, it's going to be a great pitching series. If you like pitching, this is the series for you. If you like pitching, this is the series for you. And I'm reading here, Jason Stark from ESPN.com was saying that this may be one of the best pitching matchups in playoff history. So, you know, it's great. It's going to be great. I mean, your Phillies, you have that big three with those guys, Hamels, Halladay, Oswald, H2O. I mean, those guys are coming at you with a lot of problems there. And then you have the Giants with Lincecum, Jonathan Sanchez, and Matt Cain. So both of these teams bring the pain in terms of their pitching. And should be interesting to see what happens here in this series. I think I like the Phillies here. They're just a tough team. And, you know, that toughness has a way of getting it done for the Phillies. And it's been what's gotten them to the two consecutive World Series, and many believe will get them to the third. So, I mean, it should be an interesting series tonight, and definitely looking forward to it, and definitely looking forward to these pitching matchups. Being a Phillies fan like myself, you know, I was one that was hoping that, you know, the Phillies would play the Braves, I mean, because of the pitching. And because of the things that the Atlanta Braves, not the Braves, excuse me, because of the things that the San Francisco Giants bring to the table. So I was one of those guys who wanted to see the San Francisco Giants. The Atlanta Braves. I didn't want to see those Giants. But we're going to see them. And as a Phillies fan, we're ultimately going to get this thing done. And we're ultimately going to get to the World Series. And ultimately, we're going to win the World Series. So it should be interesting. It should be a lot of fun tonight. But it's going to be a great NLCS, and I expect the Phillies to win it in six. And I'll go in depth a little more later in the show, but I definitely expect the Phillies to win it in six. And if they don't, I'll be shocked. And, of course, I'll be disappointed, but they'll get the job done. We're expected to be joined by actor Jose Sanchez from the hit TV show The Game, a show that I'm a big fan of, and a show that my wife is a big fan of, and a show that we watch together. We've been watching a lot of reruns together, so it should be exciting and should be interesting to talk to him and see where things are going with the show and how things are going with the show. We are actually now being joined by Jose Sanchez from The Game. Jose? Hello? 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 Okay, a little technical difficulty there. make sure you call back and we'll get him on and get that taken care of. But again, it should be good to talk to him and get his insight on what's going on with the show and any new twists and turns or anything of that nature. Should be good to hear his take on it. And we're definitely looking forward to that. But if you have an opinion, the number is to call 646-727-3070. That's 646-727-3070. You can listen to the show at blogtalkradio.com/PKN. That's blogtalkradio.com/PKN. And you can send email messages to the show at goforit.gan@gmail.com. That's goforit.gan@gmail.com. Again, we're expected to be joined by Jose Sanchez from the game. Should be interesting to get his take on what's going on with the show. And any new things, any new twists, any new turns that may be coming our way this season. So it should be interesting to get his take on everything with the game. You know, funny thing here in the NBA, I saw this with Gilbert Arenas. We all know Gilbert. The guy who was a jokester, likes to have a good time in a lot of ways. And Gilbert did something very interesting this past week. Ultimately, it got a fine, but Gilbert faked an injury. And the reason Gilbert faked the injury was because or he wanted one of his teammates, Nick Young, to get more playing time. And one of the ways he could get Nick Young to get more playing time was to fake an injury and act like he was injured. And in doing so, Nick Young was given the playing time. And ultimately, Gilbert came out after the game and admitted that he faked an injury and he really wasn't that hurt. He really wasn't hurt at all. And Gilbert did so, and he told everybody that he wasn't hurt. And you know, and being hurt and faking the injury, he got fined ultimately. $50,000 by the ball club, by the Wizards. And now Gilbert's $50,000 less in his pocket. So it's $50,000 less in Gilbert's pocket. And sometimes, you know, in a lot of ways, Gilbert, you can't be too honest. You can't always tell the truth. And in that situation, he told the truth, and the truth did not set him free. It actually cost him $50,000. We're now being joined by Jose Sanchez from the game. Jose?
Yeah.
How are you, sir?
Oh, I'm good.
Yes.
I'm good. How you doing?
Paul? Doing all right.
Is this Paul?
I'm doing a little Malik right to you. Boy, please.
is this Paul?
Yeah, this is Paul.
Oh, okay, Paul. How you doing, man?
How are you, sir? How are you? Now, Jose, you got me all tripped up here. Now, Jose, right now you guys are in production. You guys are shooting some of the episodes of the game. How exciting is it to have the show back? Jose?
Hello?
Yes.
Paul?
Yeah,
can you hear me?
Can you hear me? Yeah,
I'm sorry.
You.
I'm on my cell phone and the connection's a little bad.
Okay. Okay.
All right, I got you.
Let's try this again. We're now joined by Jose Sanchez from the game. Jose, how are you?
I'm fantastic, man. How you doing this morning?
All right. Jose, now you guys are shooting episodes right now of the game, and the game is back. And a lot of people pushed for it. A lot of people fought for it. How's it feel to have the show back?
Oh, my God. I mean, really, I cannot put it into words because it's something that just never happens in this lifetime. It literally feels like the biggest blessing that one can have, you know, to produce something that people love. And then for it to get canceled and then for it to, you know, be brought back is – I can't really even put it into words. It really is, how could I express it if I could? We've been trying to find words for it.
it sounds like you're speechless here.
Yeah, literally, you are. You really are speechless. You literally are speechless.
Now, there were times. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
Were there times where you thought maybe that the show would not come back and maybe that it wouldn't get picked up by anybody?
Oh, yeah, of course. I mean, well, once the show gets canceled, you know, the last thing on your mind is it getting picked back up by somebody, because that's the nature of the business. You know, every start date has an end date, and when your end date comes, it's not really likely that you ever see another start date for that particular series. So it's something that happens probably in once every blue moon, but the percentile rate is probably, you know, 2% for it to happen, and less than 2% for it to happen a year and 9 months after the show is canceled. You know, it's almost been 2 years since we were canceled. Normally it happens within, you know, a three-month period where another network decides to buy the show or has interest in the show and the deal happens. Well, this was almost 2 years before it actually manifests. So, you know, like I said, there really are no words for it because it just doesn't happen.
And when the show ended, I was saying to myself, I mean, there was just a lot of storyline. The last episode kind of ended it, but it really didn't. And it kind of felt like there was more when you saw the last episode.
Well, that's because we shot the last episode with the intentions to shoot another season.
Right.
You know, we shot it with the end. We didn't intend to never come back. It was a finale that was based off of, you know, how our regular season finales usually are in the first 2 years of the show. You know, just as cliffhangers, just to, you know, keep the people wanting more and coming back the next year. Well, you know, we didn't prepare to be canceled when we did it. Otherwise, I think we probably would have concluded all the characters.
Right.
If we had known that was our last go-round.
Now, me and my wife, we spend a little time watching the show. I got to be honest with you, Jose. I caught the show the last season. I caught it the last season, but I kept up with the show and all the past shows on BET watching the reruns, me and my wife, and we realized how good of a show this was, and we were saying to ourselves, we wish we would have caught it a lot earlier. And I was saying to my wife how underrated this show actually was. I mean, can you talk about how underrated you think this show was?
Yeah, well, you know, from a network standpoint, I think the show was definitely really successful. I have to, you know, thank the CW as much as possible because, you know, they did give us 3 years. You know, it wasn't like we got 1 or 2 years. We got 3 full seasons. With the first 2 years, we got full order pickups for the show. I think with the CW just determining the direction that they wanted to go with their network, that just didn't leave us much room. But, you know, our viewership was really good, and our followers were really good on the CW. When we switched over to BET with the reruns and syndication, that actually just took us to a whole nother platform. It just opened up a whole nother audience for us that was not watching the CW. Not necessarily not watching the show. They just weren't on that network. So, you know, the underratedness of it, I think, was just to the climate. Now, underrated, you know, as far as our peers and, you know, as far as magazines and the award shows and things like that, I think that's where we were most underrated because I think, you know, in all honesty, you know, The Game is definitely one of the best black shows that was ever created, you know, and I stand firm on that. And to just know that our peers didn't necessarily accept us, that was probably the biggest blow versus, you know, from a network standpoint. Because if you can't find the show as a consumer, no one can blame you. So I don't blame the network. I think it's more of a peer standpoint that was disappointing to us.
Now, do you think, you talked about the show being a quote-unquote black show. Now, do you think that label may have affected it, the show on some level being on the CW?
Being on the CW, Well, I don't think it necessarily negatively affected us because think about it. Without the CW, there was no show. So
right.
I can't necessarily say that, well, just because, you know, we're a black show on the network, they didn't have to pick us up. We were the same show we were from the pilot to, you know, the 3 years later. So they didn't have to do anything. They did it. So I can't necessarily say that that was the reason because we got 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Okay, but do you think the black label may have affected in terms of the type of viewers you were getting?
No, I just don't think many people watch the CW in a whole.
Okay, so
all the major networks, you look at CBS, NBC, you know, ABC, and Fox, CW is the whole, as a whole number, it is the lowest rated network as a whole. So there's not a lot of people, and they're a specific demographic. If you look at the shows that they have, there are young women on that network, and not many black young women on that network. If you look at every single show that they have, they cater to a specific audience. They're a niche network. So, you know, if our show doesn't necessarily fall within that niche, we can't get too many people watching the show.
Okay. So it's more of, it sounds like to me you're saying it's more of a byproduct of the show being on the CW instead of being, say, on Fox, ABC, or another network.
Right.
Okay.
Right. It's not like many shows. Well, you know, I think with maybe all the advertising in the world and all the promotion in the world, if your niche audience doesn't flock through that particular network, then, you know, you're not going to have as a successful show. Although we were always number, you know, one and number two of all shows on the network, we beat out, you know, most of their programming, their shows. You know, we beat out a lot of the other shows on the network, always placing within the top three. We were always within the top three of overall numbers on that network of shows.
Right. And like I said, it's a good show, definitely a good show, and I think people will definitely see that once it airs on BET again. Now, your character on the show, you play quarterback Malik Wright, kind of the stereotypical athlete. You came from a single parent home in the show. How different is Jose from Malik?
Well, I'll tell you the similarities because that'll be a lot easier. We both have single-parent homes. Both of us have strong-willed and determined mothers who are successful in their own right. We both have a certain stubborn determination to us that allows us, you know, tunnel vision in on whatever it is that we want. And we're both mama's boys. So everything else, I think, is probably a lot more different. So those are, you know, the similarities that we do have.
Well, you don't live with your mama, right?
Not anymore, no. No, not anymore.
Well, just like Malik, you guys both moved out. So, I mean,
exactly.
You guys both made the change and then moved on out. Now, you play a quarterback on the show. Are you a big sports fan?
Not really, No.
Was it difficult playing a quarterback since you weren't really a big sports fan?
No, my younger brothers are athletes, so I chose the arts road, they chose the athletic road, and it was pretty easy. I mean, I'm very familiar with the sports. I just never really played them. When I was coming up, my grandparents raised me. It was more, we're not going to let you go out and break some bones, versus, you know,
right.
Their generation, nobody gives a damn.
Right.
But I could barely even play kickball, man, for the fear of, you know, hurting myself with my grandparents. And it's just a little different now for them. So.
Now, and looking at the show, you guys cover a lot of different storylines. I mean, you had the situation, you had the gay athlete, you have gold-digging women, and so on and so forth. I mean, how closely do you guys try to relate the storylines of the game with actual storylines in sports?
Oh, we don't do anything that's not real. We don't do anything that doesn't relate to the sport as authentic as possible, whether it be ripped out of, you know, past situations or present situations with present athletes. We don't do anything that's inauthentic. Every single thing that we do has either been done or is being done by someone in the league today, for sure.
Right, right. And I have to say, I mean, you guys really definitely cover some good storylines there, and it definitely makes for a good show, definitely. Now,
thanks.
In season three, mm-hmm. your character Malik, right? You had a relationship with Robin Givens. How was it being on the set with Robin Givens?
Robin is one of the sweetest women, and I have to admit, and I admitted to her, that my perception of her was actually quite the opposite, because she's such a good bitch on TV and on film. She's such a, well, it's just the truth. You know, she's a really good actress in that way, but she's the most hospitable, humble, sharing, and caring woman that, you know, that I've met, one of the most. So, yeah, she's quite the opposite of what most people think she is. And this is not just, like, on when she's on. You know, this is in her downtime. You know, she's a mom, and, you know, her priorities are that of something that I had, opposite of what I had built for her because of, you know, the media and watching her on screen for all these years before actually meeting her and working with her. So.
And on this show, I mean, you guys have gotten a lot of athletes, and you have Rick Fox. Is Rick Fox going to be coming back?
You know what?
New batch of episodes?
That's a possibility, but right now I know he is doing Dancing with the Stars.
Right.
He's on Dancing with the Stars, and I know that their schedule is really crazy, so I don't think right at this moment he will be. I don't know. But I hear he is, so.
And you guys have
By the time the show airs, January 11th, that'll all probably be changing.
Now, where is the show being shot at?
We're shooting in Atlanta.
Okay.
Shooting in Atlanta.
And did you guys shoot previous episodes in Atlanta, or where was the shot before?
No, this is our first season. This is our first year in Atlanta. Yeah, it's our first year working in Atlanta shooting the show.
We're talking to Jose Sanchez, plays Malik Wright on the game, and the game will be returning January 11th, 2011.
Yeah.
And in terms of time slot, is it going to be always on Tuesdays, I believe that date is? Is it going to stay on Tuesdays?
Oh, yeah. We hope so. We hope so for sure. We hope that this is probably going to be a catapult for a lot of great programming for BET. Well, we know it's going to be a catapult for a lot of great programming on BET, so hopefully we'll stay here. Or if we go to, you know, another night, I'm sure BET, they're so smart over there that they'll do it for, you know, a good reason.
Now, is there a night that you would prefer?
You know what?
Is there a night that you would prefer?
Any night that allows somebody to watch the show. Any night. And, you know, they've done a lot of research. They don't just throw you on a night. You know, they've picked a night for us that will allow us to flourish for sure and allow our audience to, you know, to sit home and enjoy the show and, you know, watch the season premieres and the finale. So I don't really care as long as we're on air.
Right. Now, in terms of your character, Malik Wright, at the end of season three, I mean, you had the basically fake marriage with Robin Givens, and that
mm-hmm.
pretty much dissolved, and Malik was still, you know, still had his player ways. And in this upcoming season, does Malik on some level end his player ways? Is there an end to Malik Wright's player ways?
You know what? I don't know that there will ever be a complete end to to his ways, because we don't really know much about the characters from the writer's standpoint. The only thing I do know is that, you know, our creators, our producers, they try to deliver every aspect of an athlete through our eyes. I know you probably won't see a point on the show where all of us are married and happy, because that's just not real. It's just not authentic to the world that they're trying to deliver to you guys. So, you know, it's probably as simple as if you see, you know, one couple that's going through something or one guy that's going through something, you probably won't experience two guys in a similar situation, because they're trying to deliver that world to you guys as authentically as possible and just through the eyes of three guys and three women. So I don't know, you know. I don't know.
No,
but I hope not.
I guess you enjoy it on some level.
I like the authenticity of the character. I like being able, you know, Jason's the one who, you know, there's always a guy in the NFL that's black that's married to a white girl. That's just what it is.
Right.
You know, and Derwin, there's always a guy in the NFL who, you know, starts out as a rookie and is going through something with his girlfriend, doesn't know if he wants to make her his wife, and, you know, going through that battle. Then there's always the Malik character. There's always the player. There's always the guy who's a bachelor, who's, you know, enjoying being famous and enjoying his money, you know, and needs attention. Like, you know, those three different aspects of the NFL are three that are so prevalent and that never, ever go away.
Right. Right. And
so I enjoy playing my position, I should say.
Now, I know you're not a big sports fan, but was there any particular player that you tried to model yourself after when you're playing Malik Wright?
Oh, yeah. There were three. One of them, I won't tell you who he is because he asked me not to, and I might get my ass whooped, so I'm not going to say it. But the other two are...
You're a fairly big guy.
Terrell Owens. Actually, I mean, yeah, I am, but just trying to, you know, live a little longer. That's all, bro.
Right.
But I was saying that there was Terrell Owens and Deion Sanders are the other two.
Okay. And I definitely see a lot of T.O. in Malik Wright's character, type of guy, kind of calls teammates out from time to time, kind of the loud mouth, says a lot of crazy things to the media. So I definitely see Malik Wright. I definitely see T.O., Terrell Owens, in Malik Wright, and I definitely see Deion Sanders as well. So, I mean, you actually can see it.
Those were my models after. That I built him
up. Now, did you watch any press conferences of those guys or anything of that nature to kind of prep you?
Oh, yeah, I did a lot of research. So, I mean, I've read, you know, Deion has two autobiographies. Terrell has two, well, had two at the time. I don't know, they may have more now, but they had, you know, autobiographies and books. So, I mean, I've read the books and did, you know, a lot of studying with, you know, video and things like that from the past. So, yeah, I did a lot of research.
Now, the game will come back January 11th, 2011. And you also have a couple movies coming out in 2011, 96 Minutes and Dysfunctional Friends. Tell us about those movies.
Minutes, 96 Minutes is... it's a really interesting film. You guys will find out. I think it's probably going to go to Sundance, actually. But I play a cop, which is something that I always wanted to do because I have such an affinity for cops. I don't know why. Well, playing them. And I always wonder, you know, about the mind of a cop, you know, what they have to go through every single day, you know, in the name of, job duty, or in the name of, you know, trying to be a hero and do their part in the world. So I play a cop that gets into a scuffle with Evan Ross. Evan Ross's character, he's the lead in the film. And, I mean, that's pretty much all I can tell you about it. he's
Dysfunctional Friends?
Dysfunctional Friends was a fun project. Everybody and their mama is in that movie. This was a project that the character was really something that I thought would be fun to play. The producers and director gave me a lot of rein to create, you know, this quirky character who is a has-been rapper who comes back to contact with his old friends, kind of like the Big Chill, like a black version of the Big Chill in a way. And, you know, my character was hilarious when I read the script, so I pretty much threw myself at the opportunity to chuck play this guy.
It sounds like 2011 is going to be a big year for Jose Sanchez.
I hope so, man.
It's funny how the affinity that you have for cops, because ironically enough, I am married to a cop. So it's kind of funny how you were saying all these things. So, I mean, I guess I like cops too. I guess we got something in common there, because I'm married to one.
Wow. Well, good luck, man. I tell you, because they have very hard jobs that I don't know that I could do.
Now, do you have any previews? Anything we can look forward to? Any snippets of what we're going to see on the game in 2011?
Well, we've been actually silenced by the producers, so I can't really tell you too much, but I promise you this, you know, I know people probably say this all the time, but this is literally going to be the best season yet, and not just because of the writing, but because, you know, we have a lot to prove as artists, you know, to our fans, because we know how important it is that the show is returning to them. So we keep that very conscious in our minds and at the forefront of our thoughts to make sure that we produce the best work for our fans and make sure that we live up to what we left off with. So that I can definitely tell you. It'll be bigger, better, and rest assured that BET has made all of the necessary accommodations to make sure that this show was better than it was on the last episode that you saw. Have no doubts about what they are doing.
So basically, you think is the show going to have almost a different feel to it, a different edge to it?
It's going to be better. It's going to be bigger. It's going to be better. It's going to look better. It's going to feel better. And it's going to, I would say, knock everybody's socks off. What you thought you knew about these characters will be turned completely upside down.
Wow. So, I mean, that's a good enough preview for me. And since you are silent, I guess I have to take it at that.
It's funny.
Now,
in terms
of the campaigning for the show, how hard did you personally campaign to try to get this back on? I know I saw you guys on the Monique show, and I see you in other different places, and you saw different blogs pop up about it. But how hard did you work personally to try to push to get this show back on the air?
I mean, well, I can't say that I did more than I could have done, because, to be honest with you, after the show was actually canceled, I had given up on it. After the show was canceled, I didn't really do much of anything. But before it got canceled, you know, we all did our parts in trying to make an awareness to the audience that the show was on the chopping block. After it hit the chopping block, because shows don't ever really come back, I had given up on it.
Wow. Because I got the sense, I mean, in seeing everybody, I got the sense that you guys really were you guys kind of felt that the show would come back, and you guys kind of were all pushing for it. But it's interesting that you said once it ended, it was kind of like it was ended for you. It was kind of over for you.
Yeah, because, the push was before the cancellation. You know, when we did the Monique show, the show hadn't been canceled. I don't think the show was canceled then. And, you know, once we did the campaign, the Save the Game campaign, and 106 and Park, me and Peach 101 Park. The show hadn't been canceled, but it was in jeopardy of being canceled. So we knew that, and we knew the CW was going in a different direction. So we wanted the fans to get together and let them know before it happened that, listen, you know, if you want your favorite show to stay on television, you know, you have to be vocal about it. You got to say to the networks, this is what we want to see. And they did it. They showed up. They wrote in. They called, you know, the network's voicemails. I remember one of the executives was saying how her voicemail has been full and hacked into. I mean, it was people on so many different ends trying to protect the show, from the fans that watch the show to the internal fans of people who, you know, work for the networks and work for the studios. People were supporting on the back end on so many different levels. So, yeah, I think it was a testament to, you know, the fans and people actually realizing how much power they do have. That's the reason why we're back.
And Jose, we have a lot of female followers to the show, a lot of female listeners. At this stage of the game, are you a single man?
No, I'm not.
Okay.
I'm doing my thing.
I guess the next question is, there had been, you see it on various blogs and other places where there was a supposed date between you and Tia Mowry's sister, Tamara. if you could, possibly clear that up for us.
That was just, you know, we were just having a little fun, that's all.
Okay.
We were just having fun, yeah.
Would you specify what fun entails? It's just...
Would you say, golly, man. What do you mean, specify it?
In terms of was it...
What is fun? Would you say, was it what?
Well, I mean, it could be, you know, two friends go and catch a movie. It could be, you know, two friends going bowling.
That's what it was. Two friends going to eat dinner.
Okay, all right.
Nothing serious.
No, fair enough. Jose, definitely, we thank you for stopping by. And again, everybody, the game will be on. It is back. It is on BET. January 11th, 2011. 1-1-1-1-1.
That's right.
So definitely we'll be back on BET. Do you have a time?
No, I don't have a time yet.
Okay. Okay.
I don't have a time.
And so we definitely thank you for stopping by, sir. We're looking to get a few of the other cast members on to talk about the show. And, you know, I'm excited to have the show back. And I think a lot of people, when they finally give the show a chance, if they haven't given it a chance, will really, really like what they see.
I agree. 110%.
Jose, we definitely thank you for stopping by, sir. And don't be a stranger. We'd love to have you on again down the line.
Oh, for sure, man. We'll make that happen.
All right. Take care.
All right, now.
All right. Jose Sanchez from the game. January 11th, 2011. So it should be exciting. It should be interesting to see the game come on back. Hello, you're on Go For It. But it should be interesting to see the show going, but come on back, and it should be interesting to hear to watch the show. I mean, it's a great show, and it was good for Jose to stop by, get his thoughts on the show. A lot of fun, and I'm looking for big things from the game. And he said it's going to be bigger. He said it's going to be better. And judging by what I saw, I believe him. The numbers to call, 646-727-3070. That's 646-727-3070. And you can listen to the show at blogtalkradio.com/pgant. That's blogtalkradio.com/pgant. And you can also send email messages to the show at goforit.gan@gmail.com. That's goforit.gan@gmail.com. So we got baseball right now, the MLB playoffs. We're in the championship round, championship series round, and I'm gonna look closely at the NLCS, and that is the Philadelphia Phillies versus the San Francisco Giants. And here, this comes down to pitching. This is about pitching. If you look at both of these teams, are stocked, piled in terms of starting pitching. I mean, if you look at the Phillies, you have H2O, of course, Holiday, Oswalt, Cole Hamels. And then the Giants, they can count on with three decent starters with Tim Lincecum, Jonathan Sanchez, and Matt Cain. So these guys, these three pitchers, and you have the Phillies pitchers and you have the Giants pitchers. These pitchers going up against each other is going to be, and like I said, if you love pitching, this is going to be a series for you. This is going to be the series for you. I mean, you look at game one, you have arguably the two best starters in the National League, and Tim Lincecum and Roy Holiday, arguably the two best starters in the game with these two, Lincecum and Holiday. And you look at these two pitchers, and you look at Roy Holiday, who was dominating. I mean, he doesn't get any more dominating than a no-hitter. I mean, he doesn't get any more dominating than a no-hitter. And he actually, he walked Jay Bruce, and it was a 3-2 pitch, and, you know, he actually took that count full. So he had a chance there for a perfect game, and that would have been the second perfect game of the season. He only had one perfect game. That would have been his second perfect game in the same season. You don't see that. You don't see that every day. You don't see no hitters in the playoffs. I mean, the last time you saw it was 1954 with Don Larson and his perfect game. I mean, that's a long time. That is a long time. So, you know, that's something that just doesn't happen. And then you have Tim Lincecum, who came in and against the Braves, 14 strikeouts, 2-hit ball, and a victory for the San Francisco Giants. I mean, nicknamed the Freak, and he pitches like a freak, and he's a guy that, again, arguably the best pitcher in the National League, and maybe the best pitcher in baseball, arguably. I'm not saying he is, but arguably the best pitcher in baseball. And Kirk Schilling chimed in, former pitcher. I don't think, as Schilling said, I don't think that's elite, that you'll see another box score where people will go, holy crap. I mean, you may see some crazy box scores here. And baseball comes down a lot of ways to pitching. Winning championships comes down to winning, to having big-time pitchers. I mean, if you look at the Giants pitching staff, since September 1st, Lincecum, the Giants are 18-4 when Lincecum, Cain, and Sanchez have started. And their combined September to October ERA is 1.85. 1.85. Wow. Wow. mean, that's all you can say is wow. That's all you can say. And you look at the Phillies in their big three, H2O, Holiday, Oswalt, and Hamels. Their big three. You have a possible Cy Young winner in Holiday. You have Oswalt again to a former World Series MVP. And who happens to own the lowest ERA among left-handed starters in baseball since July. And then you have Cole Hamels, who pitched a complete game shutout against the Cincinnati Reds in the second half of the season, who was off the charts. Off the charts in the second half of the season. And would have been better if he actually got some run support. His record would have been a lot better if he would have gotten some run support. So, in the past 23 games that these three have started, meaning H2O, Hamels, Holiday, and Oswalt, the Phillies have gone 21-2. Combined ERA of these three guys. You heard the Giants, 1.85, but the Phillies are not too shabby, 1.99 with these three guys. Wow. As well, all as you can say is wow. I mean, arguably with the Phillies, I mean, arguably, you got three number one and number two starters pretty much pitching in this series. We have these three on the mound on both sides. So, like I said, if you like pitching, you're going to like this series. You're definitely going to like this series. And it's going to be an exciting series, man, but it's going to come down to hitting. It's going to come down to whose bats are better. And I like to think that the Phillies' bats are a little better. I like to think the Phillies' bats are a little better. Granted, when you look at the series between the Phillies and the Reds did a fairly decent job on the Phillies' bats. They did a fairly decent job. But when you have a situation when, A, you get no hit in game one, and then B, you get shut out in game three, doesn't matter how many runs you score. That doesn't matter. It becomes almost irrelevant if you're getting that type of pitching from your three guys there. I mean, if you look at this Phillies team, and a lot of people really came after this team and hammered this team for the Cliff Lee trade in the offseason, and rightfully so. A lot of people hammered him for that. A lot of people hammered Ruben Amaro Jr. for that, and rightfully so. But give Ruben Amaro Jr. a lot of credit. He rectified the situation and during the trade deadline and scooped up Roy Oswalt. And that, in a lot of ways, made a lot of people forget about the Cliff Lee trade. Because he rectified the situation. Now, would we rather have Holiday, Lee, and Hamels? Of course. Sure we would. And anybody would. Phillies fan or not a Phillies fan, if you're on one, if you're if that's your franchise, and you're a general manager or owner of a franchise, of course you would want those three starters. But the Phillies weren't willing to make the financial commitment to make that happen. So they gave you the next best thing. They gave you the next best thing, and the next best thing was Roy Oswalt, who came in and, again, became that guy who gave you three legitimate starters. And Cole Hamels stepped up his game. He definitely stepped up his game. And a lot of people were a little down on Cole Hamels last year. And rightfully so. Cole Hamels did not have a good year last season. And if you look at it, you're thinking if Hamels would have pitched the way he pitched this year, if he would have pitched last year the way he pitched this year, if you look at it, you're saying to yourself, the Phillies probably are the two-time World Series champions, and they're going for a three-peat this year. I mean, they were essentially another quality start away from possibly winning the World Series. Another start away from possibly winning the World Series. But now, Hamels has turned things around. And like I said, people tend to forget sometimes. Back in 2008, Cole Hamels was the LCS and World Series MVP. He was a horse in 2008. He was the staff ace in 2008. He played his tail off in 2008. And he's the number three starter here. So, it's aces galore in this upcoming series. It's aces galore in this upcoming season. Against the San Francisco Giants. This NLCS will be filled with aces. You'll have an uneven deck there with all these aces. So, if you like pitching, you'll definitely love this NLCS. And again, I think I like the Philadelphia Phillies to pull this series out in six. And I think the Phillies will be in the World Series for the third straight year. And it's been a long time since that's happened. A long time since that's happened. That doesn't happen. That does not happen. 65 years to be exact. 65 years. You may even see a no-hitter in this series. You already saw one in the NLDS with Roy Holiday. You may see one here. I mean, this has been the year of the pitcher. This has been the year of the pitcher. It's been no-hits galore here in this season. No-hits galore. 65 years since a team has won, or the NL three straight years and been in the World Series for three straight years. That, my friend, is a mighty, 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 mighty long time. But judging by what we saw with Roy Holiday, 50-plus years since we saw a no-hitter in the playoffs, and Roy Holiday did that. So, who knows? That looks good. That bodes well for the Phillies. And so maybe the Phillies will get to the World Series for the third time. And if you're a Phillies fan, I think if you're MLB, you want to see that matchup against the Yankees. You want a rematch there. A, it's two large cities. But B, they're probably the two best teams in baseball. And it would be a rematch of last year's World Series. The last half hour, go for it, starts now. You have the last half hour, go for it. I'm your host, Paul Gannon. For the next half hour, we will be talking sports and having fun doing it. I want all your ideas, all your opinions, and all your beliefs. And, of course, you will get a heavy dose of my opinion. If you have an opinion, the number to call the show, 646-727-3070. That's 646-727-3070. You can listen to the show at blogtalkradio.com/pgan. That's blogtalkradio.com/pgan. And you can send email messages to the show at goforit.gan@gmail.com. That's goforit.gan@gmail.com. So again, get your thoughts on the NLCS. What do you expect to see? Do the Phillies get back to the World Series for the third time in a row? Do we see a no-hitter in this series? What do we expect? What do we expect to see here? Is it going to be a bunch of 1-0, 2-1, maybe 3-2 games? What's it going to come down to? What do we expect to see in this NLCS? What do we expect to see? So let's get your thoughts on that. The numbers to call again are 646-727-3070. That's 646-727-3070. A lot of big NFL action tomorrow. A lot of good games to look forward to. A lot of interesting matchups. And this has been a very unpredictable season. It's been a season of parity. And if you look at it, you can't really pinpoint, especially in the NFC, who was the best team. I mean, you have Chicago, who gotten off to a good start. You got the Packers, struggling a little bit at 3-2, but still there. You have the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who have surprised some people and who are off to a good start right now. And right now, if you look at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, they're 3-1. You have the Falcons, who travel to Philadelphia tomorrow, who are 4-1. And you have the Saints, who are 3-2. And you have teams like the Cowboys, who are 1-3, and teams like the Vikings, who are 1-3, two teams that many expected to be at the top of their divisions. But if you look at the NFC now, and you have, let's look at the leaderboard right now in the NFC. You have the Redskins and the Eagles and the Giants, who are a three-way tie for the top of the NFC East. In the NFC North, you have the Bears, who are 4-1. NFC South, you have the Falcons, who are 4-1, and the NFC West, which by far is probably the weakest of the four divisions. You have the Arizona Cardinals at the top of that division. If you look at these three divisions and if you look at the NFC right now, you're saying to yourself that this thing's wide open. This thing is pretty wide open right now. You can't sit here and say, oh, Atlanta's a great team. You're definitely not going to say Tampa Bay, which is 3-1 and second in that division, is a team that's going to be around. You don't expect that to happen. You do expect the Packers to play a little better. The Cowboys, maybe, I mean, we talk about their talent. We talk about what they bring to the table. But maybe at the end of the day with the Dallas Cowboys, they are what they are. They are what their record says they are, and they're 1-3. And all the talent in the world that we always talk about with them, maybe it's just that. It's just talent, a bunch of talent, and not a bunch of talent that is meshed together. But as we look at the NFC West, that was a division that many felt that the San Francisco 49ers would have a good opportunity to win. Right now, the Arizona Cardinals are 3-2 and on top of the division, but if you look at them, you realize that that's not really a great football team there. And they're starting a rookie in Max Hall, who pulled out a victory against the Saints, but that victory more so was a byproduct of two defensive touchdowns, one by Kerry Rhodes and the other by Dominic Rogers-Cromartie. So if you look at that, you're saying to yourself, not a big deal. You know what I mean? You're saying to yourself, this is really not that good of a team. You're just saying, that's just not that good of a team. And if you look at it right now, if you look at, like I said, the NFC is so wide open. It's so wide open. So wide open. And then you go to the AFC now. And you look at the AFC, man, and you're saying, okay, the Jets, they look good. After coming off a victory against the Minnesota Vikings, you have the Ravens. They look good. 4-1. Beating the Jets, beating the Steelers, and beating the Broncos, beating some decent teams. I mean, they haven't beaten any pandies on their schedule. They haven't beaten any pandies. They've beaten some legitimately tough teams, Super Bowl contending teams, in the Jets, Super Bowl contending teams, and the Steelers. And a playoff contending team in the Denver Broncos. So they've beaten some good, good, good teams here. And teams that you expect to be there at the end. So they've definitely done that. They have definitely done that. So if you look at the AFC, and then you have the Kansas City Chiefs who are 3-1, but it's a 3-1 that I don't believe in. I don't believe in this franchise. I don't believe in this team. I don't believe in their quarterback. And that's the big thing. I don't believe in Matt Castle. I don't think Matt Castle's that good. I think Matt Castle was a byproduct of the New England Patriots and that whole situation. I don't think he's that good. I don't think he's that good. So I'd be shocked. I'd be shocked, but if I look at that division right now, yeah, the Raiders are 2-3, and everybody else is 2-3 there. Raiders, Chargers, and Broncos, all 2-3 there. If I look at those divisions, at that division, and I look at those 2-3 teams, you would think at some point the Chargers would play a little better. And the Chargers probably would be the best out of those 2-3 teams who are 2-3. And talent-wise, you would probably say they're the best in that division. So you expect at some point the Chiefs to come back to the pack a little bit. And you expect the Chargers ultimately to take control of that division and ultimately win that division. You would think. You would think. Because the Chargers, again, are probably the most talented team in that division. So you would expect the Chargers to ultimately take over that division and ultimately win that division and ultimately get to the playoffs. But the Chiefs, they have a good defense. They play New England tough. They definitely have a good defense. But in terms of quarterback play, you have to question if it's there. And they've done some great things with their run game, with McCluster and Thomas Jones. And you look at their victories, I mean, they beat the Chargers week one. They beat the Browns, not a good team, in week two. And you look around, you go, and they beat the Niners. Again, team that's 0-5, not a good team there. And they finally lost this week against the Indianapolis Colts. But if you look at them, they haven't beat any teams that you would say were great, obviously. The Browns are not a good team. The Niners are also not a good team. And combined, 1-9. Between those two teams. So if you look at it, they haven't beaten. If you look at the combined records of the team that beat are 3-12. So I don't believe in the Chiefs, and I think the Chiefs will come on back to the pack. And if you look at the AFC South, you have the Texans who got off to a fast start, but now lost two games and was beaten, actually were blown out, actually, by the Giants. And the Cowboys beat them up pretty good, too. So maybe that's a team that everybody, I mean, everybody was talking. There was a team that everybody was looking at in the offseason, but everybody saw that team, and that team came out, and they had a great start to the season, and definitely a great start to the year. And they started the year nice by beating the Indianapolis Colts. They started nice there, beating the Indianapolis Colts, a team that they struggled with. They came back in week two and beat the Redskins, a game which they came back in, and they came back to the pack after losing to the Cowboys. And so they lost to the Cowboys in the last – they lost two out of the last three games to the Cowboys and to the Giants. And in both of those situations, in both of those games, they really weren't in it. So you look at that and you say to yourself, maybe they're not all that great either. But when it's all said, you have Jacksonville, actually, after they looked horrible against the Eagles, against the Philadelphia Eagles, they got blown out by the Eagles, but now they're coming back with some, and they're playing some good football. They beat the Colts and the Buffalo Bills the last 2 weeks, and now they're on top of the division, along with the Colts and the Texans at 3-2. Actually, the whole division. It's a four-way tie for first place in the AFC South with the Texans, Jaguars, Colts, and Titans. Maybe you can argue from top to bottom that that might be the best division in football, but you have to look at that AFC North. Right there you have Baltimore, you have Pittsburgh, Baltimore 4-1, Pittsburgh 3-1. They get Big Ben back. So that's their quarterback situation should be solidified. And also, you have Cincinnati, who I believed was a Super Bowl contender. You have a situation there with Cincinnati, two bad losses these past 2 weeks. Carson Palmer's been throwing the ball to the other team way too much. He hasn't been consistent. They lost to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at home, a game they should have won. And they lost to the Cleveland Browns on the road. Again, a game that they should have won. Games that they should have won, they're not winning. They're not winning. So if you look at that, and you look at that situation, and you look at those teams, and you're saying to yourself, this Cincinnati Bengals team, maybe they're not as good as we thought they were. Maybe they're not as good as they thought they were. And, you know, you heard all the talk of Chad Ochocinco saying, hey, if we don't win it, we need to win the Super Bowl. We need to win the Super Bowl. They believe that they should be winning the Super Bowl. You had T.O. coming out talking about people, in his interview with Michael Irvin on the NFL Network. They don't know. People don't know how much football I know and so on and so forth. I mean, I saw T.O. He was a guy who wasn't trying to rock the boat. But sometimes you just have to lie. And I heard Marshall Faulk come on afterwards and say, sometimes you got to learn how to lie and not tell the whole truth. And T.O.'s a guy that likes to tell the truth. Whether you like it or not, the guy likes to tell the truth. And he's going to tell the truth. That's just who he is. And you also now look at the AFC East, the Jets, on top of the division. The Jets have been playing some good football. They definitely have been playing some good football. And that was a team that I was saying to myself, maybe they're not as good as everybody says they are. And I might be wrong there. Mark Sanchez has proven that he's a guy who can make some plays. He's making plays right now. Mark Sanchez is making plays right now for the New York Jets. He's getting it done. He's getting it done. 8 touchdowns, no interceptions. The guy is getting it done. He's finding a way to get this thing done. So, if it continues at this rate, I may owe Mark Sanchez a big apology, because it was my thinking that he would be the guy who will hold this team back and would be the guy that would ultimately not allow this team to make it to the Super Bowl. But that defense is great. And if Sanchez continues to play the way he's playing right now, wow, New York Jets might be your Super Bowl champions if he continues at this rate. If he continues at this rate, the New York Jets may be your Super Bowl champions. It may be. It may be. Now, I talked about this earlier, and I want to get back to it. Gilbert Arenas, he was fined $50,000 by the Washington Wizards. Arenas essentially said he faked the injury so Nick Young could get more playing time. And so Nick Young, actually the game that Gilbert set out, Nick Young scored 24 points in that game. So Gilbert did help out his boy. But ultimately he was fined and $50,000 big ones. And my thing is to you, Gilbert, I mean, hey, man, it's good to tell the truth, and they always say the truth shall set you free. But if you're going to do that, man, just shut up. And don't tell anybody that you did that on purpose. Don't tell anybody that. Come on, man. Come on, man. You know better than that. And especially, you're a guy who's coming off a suspension for bringing a gun to the locker room. I mean, you're coming off that situation. I mean, you would think you're a guy that would just be quiet, shut up, and just go through the year quietly. And we all know at some point that Gilbert Arenas probably will be traded, sent elsewhere, because, I mean, it seems like it's going to be John Wall's team, the young rookie out of Kentucky. It looks like it's going to be his ball club, his team. And in order for that to really, in order for him, I think, to really flourish and to really, for that team to become his team, Gilbert Arenas probably has to move on. And so we'll see if that happens. But you would expect that to happen at some point. Not sure when, but you would definitely expect it to happen at some point. But if you're Gilbert Arenas, you just have to learn that sometimes less is more. And sometimes it's better to just keep things to yourself. I'm sure people have taught him that and told him that, because he can actually talk too much and actually say too much and give out too much information and too much business. And sometimes in talking too much and saying too much, you get yourself in trouble. And he got himself in trouble there and cost him 50 G's. I mean, not too bad for a guy who's making his type of money, but, hey, you know, 50 G's is 50 G's. And then you have the Miami Heat, Dwayne Wade. They're expected to have him back probably by the start of the regular season. And also LeBron James, he missed some time, leg cramps. So those two guys, well, definitely D-Wade will probably come back at the start of the season. LeBron will probably be back before the end of the preseason. If not, you'd probably hold him out to the regular season. But again, you look at this big three in this situation, as we continue to talk the NBA right now, if you look at that situation and look at that, you're saying to yourself, I mean, arguably the greatest collection of talent, I mean, three legitimate stars, two superstars in Wade and James and Chris Bosh, who was close, if not a superstar. If you look at those two, teams in those two situations, you're saying to yourself, wow. And you got guys coming out saying this team, Jeff Van Gundy, this team could win 70-plus games. I don't believe that'll be the case. And like I said, if you look at the Eastern Conference right now, you have to say to yourself, you don't think that would be the case either. Boston, a team that is going to be there, of course. Orlando, a team that's going to be there, of course. Atlanta's not a bad team. Chicago, a team that probably will be there, of course. And Milwaukee's a little better. So from top to bottom, the Eastern Conference is a lot better. I don't expect 70. I don't expect 70 wins from the Miami Heat. I'm not even sure if I expect the championship, to be honest with you. They'll be there in terms of a conference final. But in terms of a championship, I'm not ready to say that just yet. They may not be able to say it at all. So when you look at that, you're saying to yourself, 70-plus wins, probably is a stretch. 70-plus wins is probably a stretch at this point in time. Probably a stretch. So, I mean, Van Gundy said it could happen. Then maybe it could happen. Maybe. He knows a lot more basketball than I do. But I just don't see it happening, Jeff. I just don't see it happening. Also, another great player, superstar, Allen Iverson. Possibility now. He has an offer from a Turkish basketball team. And the offer is $1.5 million for 1 year. $1.5 million for 1 year. Could net as possibly as much as $2 million. And AI is going overseas. I mean, Stephon Marbury, he went over to China. Now, because AI, it would be hard to see Allen Iverson. I can't see it happening. I can't see him going overseas. And he's a guy that, if he can just take a role that he's not used to, and that's a role of, you know, a player off the bench, a sixth, seventh man, eighth man on a team, his career would continue in the NBA. But he has not proven that he's willing to do that. He did prove it. Well, let me take that back. And earlier when he was with the Pistons 2 seasons ago, he didn't really prove that he could take the role as a bench player. They actually ended up shutting him down for the rest of the regular season, a little bit of the regular season. It was about 5, 6, 7, 8 games left. And they shut him down for the whole playoffs as well. So he got shut down for the season by the Pistons. And then last year he started in Memphis and he was griping about playing time there. And eventually he took a leave of absence from the Grizzlies. And he ended up with the Sixers at the end and played the good soldier role there. Played the veteran role there, playing the leader type, veteran type, solid veteran in the locker room type player. Played that role. Yeah, no choice, really. And he ended up actually missing a whole bunch of time near the end of the regular season. He had a situation with his daughter, and that eventually he also was having some marital problems, and eventually he shut it down for the rest of the regular season there in Philadelphia. So then there was reports came out that he had a gambling and drinking problem and some of the issues there with Allen Iverson. And then he came out and said he fixed the marital problems and he was ready to go at it again. So, I mean, guy's hungry. He's got something to prove on some level. He still wants to play. So you would think maybe some NBA team would give him an offer, give him a shot. But as of right now, his only offer is in Turkey. His only offer is in Turkey. And we'll see if he takes it. As of right now, we'll see if he takes it. And that could be a situation maybe down the line. He doesn't start to hear with anybody, but maybe he comes in, who knows, a mid-season situation. Who knows? But as of right now, Allen Iverson is a free agent. As of right now, Allen Iverson has an offer to play in Turkey. So the answer to the question of whether or not AI will accept the offer for the Turkish basketball team right now is just still a question. A few minutes left in the show. It's a good show today. Good to hear from Jose Sanchez from the game. And that show will start back up on BET January 11th, 2011. So next year the show will get started and we'll be back. It'll be an exciting time for those who are fans of that show and fans of the game. Interesting story, actually. Ron Artest, Lakers forward, decided to raffle and sell off his NBA championship ring. Well, he's in the process of selling off his NBA championship ring. The proceeds of the ring sale will go to Artest's nonprofit organization, Excel University. And Excel University, actually, excuse me, will be the team that will select the two charities that will receive the monies. The charities that they are considering actually will increase, or the goal is to increase mental health awareness. And you remember our test coming out at the end of the finals, thanking his psychiatrist and everybody else. And it was a moment, interesting moment, but it was a real moment. A man who was real about bearing his soul and bearing who he was. And you have to give him credit. Say what you will about Ron Artest. You have to give him credit for that. Say what you will about the guy. I mean, the guy has done some weird things, some different things on and off the court. But his candor, his raw emotion at the time after winning the NBA Finals is something that he can't knock. And it is something in a lot of ways that is refreshing. So give him credit for that. Say what you will about the guy, but he was definitely real that day. And he gave you real hardcore emotion. So say what you will, but he did it. And give him credit. And he will be selling off his ring to raise mental health awareness around the country and ultimately around the world. We want to thank Jose Sanchez for stopping by, actor from the game. Again, the show will be airing on BET this January, January 11th, 2011. No time yet on when the show will air, the time the show will air, but the show definitely will return on January 11th, 2011. So that should be exciting for those of you who are fans of that show. So we want to thank Jose for stopping by and definitely support the show, the game, which will air on BET in January, January 11th, to be specific. And we want to thank everybody else who listened. And again, you can listen to this show and past shows at blogtalkradio.com/pgan. That's where you can listen to this show and past shows. So make sure you go there, blogtalkradio.com/pgan. And also, you can follow me on Twitter at GoForItGan. That's GoForItGan on Twitter.com. And again, you can listen to this show and past shows at blogtalkradio.com/begin. That's blogtalkradio.com/begin, where you listen to this show and other shows. Again, follow me on Twitter and go for it, Gary.